Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Everybody, it's 8 o'clock here on the East Coast, a very sunny East Coast with a lot of humidity in the air. I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for tonight, and thanks for listening to another edition of At Home with Victoria. My lovely, charming, beautiful radio wife is sick today. She called up, wanted to do the show very bad, but she sounded like the Cookie Monster, so we decided she would take a pass. We've got a great show for you tonight. Actor and now Prince of the Dance Floor, Jason Dotley, is going to be joining us. I was a big fan of Sword of Lives, the series, and he was the leading man in that, Ty Williamson, fantastic man, following his career for some time, and the small town boy is hitting it big in the U.S. and in the U.K., so thrilled to have him here with his music. And then we're going to be talking with actor and activist, the lovely and charming Terry Simmons. You know her as Parker Kensington Parker from the web series Pretty, and charming, lovely, and doing some wonderful work. She's got a new project coming out called The Trouble Man. We're going to be talking with her a little bit later. So to start off the night, it's going to be like a club at Home with Victoria tonight. So Jason Dotley with Party Around the World.
Like all these feet we hanging.
Dotley with Party Around the World featuring Debbie Holiday. Welcome to the show, Jason Dotley. Jason, I'll be taking your At Home with Victoria virginity today. I'm very, very proud.
Well, good. I'm glad to be of use.
We got a lot in common, Jason. Both of us wore our mother's shoes when we were young.
Oh, you must have read my bio.
Honey, I think it's every gay man's bio. What was it like growing up in Mississippi?
You know, at the time it seemed wonderful. In retrospect, I mean, it was wonderful as a young child. Once I hit high school, I was there for a year and a half of my first 4 years of high school until I moved to Florida, and it was bad then because I started getting teased and stuff because I was, you know, very different. I was preppy, and I was also obviously, I was very effeminate. So between the two things, my redneck high school peers, you know, made it kind of hell for me. So mixed bag. Great when I was young, not so great when I was older.
Yeah. Do you get back there a lot now or?
Not really. No, I don't.
Yeah, no, when I left my hometown, I left in 87. I went back 6 years later for my sister's graduation, and I haven't been back since. And, you know, lovely town. They should all absolutely remain living there. I think it's lovely. How did you get from Mississippi to L.A.?
By my car.
You just picked up and left?
Well, actually, I was in college at the University of Mississippi, and my dad had just passed away, and I meant to go to NYU. That's where I was accepted, where I was heading. Mm-hmm. Then my dad died my senior year of high school, which threw my whole life into a sense of chaos, and I was not comfortable leaving my mom or even really leaving my family at first. So I changed gears and went to college in Mississippi, but I didn't last a semester there. I knew what I wanted to do, and I knew it was entertainment, and I knew that college had nothing to do with that for me. And so I went home at Thanksgiving and cried a river, and my family flew me to L.A. over Thanksgiving break. We found me an apartment, and I moved there January 6th, 2000.
Wow. And were you working immediately and stuff? You did some modeling? You had to do some modeling. You're gorgeous.
Well, I thank you very much for saying that. I got an interesting. My manager called and sent me out for the most random thing for me. It was a Prada, this Prada Spring and Summer 2001 ad campaign, and I'd never even considered modeling. It was not even on my mental radar. And I went, and it was also before Thanksgiving, and they never called. Like 2 or 3 weeks passed, and so I went home for Thanksgiving, and I ate like a pig. And the moment I got back in December, my manager called and said, "You're booked." And I was like, "What?" And it was like, literally, we had lied about my size because it was Prada, so it was, you know, needle thin. And so I modeled, and then I met with an agency after that, Elite, or somebody really big. And the agent said to me something to the effect of, "You look like everybody else. I don't know what I would do with you." And so I called my manager and I said, "I didn't sign up for this modeling business." I said, "I don't ever want to sit in a meeting and be told that again. So we're done modeling." And that's all the modeling I ever did. That was it.
Through. You were through. Now, you were one of the stars of Sword of Lives, the series. And I have to tell you, I was addicted to that for the time that it was on Logo. And fantastic group of actors you worked with, also written by Del Shores, your at one time husband. What was it like working on that project with really a fantastic cast?
It's like a gay dream come true.
Really?
I mean, I was friends with Olivia Newton-John already, so that was very cool to work with her, but she was already in my life. When Rue McClanahan agreed to join the cast, you would have thought that, I don't know, I freaked out at the idea that in an alternate fictional world, my favorite Golden Girl was my grandmother. It was just sort of, you know, and then Margaret Cho guest starred, and you know, Beth Grant and Leslie Jordan. It was just truthfully, it was a gay dream come true, and phenomenal experience working on the show. It was just I mean, it was as fun to do as it was for you guys to watch. It was an absolute blast.
Yeah. Gained great success here in the States and a really great following in the UK as well.
Well, we were on in 16 countries. We were on right after Desperate Housewives in Israel, which made me laugh so hard to think that people that far away culturally were laughing at, you know, this wacky Southern family. So it was a fantastic experience. It was very well received.
Yeah. You've done some producing as well now. Tell me about Yellow. You produced Octavia Spencer? Is that what
Yes, I did. Yeah. I produced Octavia Spencer in a play called The Trials and Tribulations of a Trailer Trash Housewife. I produced her in that in, I forget what year it was. And she's amazing. I mean, she's one of those people that from the moment you meet her, you just are enamored by that spirit that she has. It just radiates from her on screen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was and then that became a movie actually last year. Dell filmed that movie and it was released at some point last year. I wasn't involved with the movie, but I love Octavia.
Me too. Her performance in The Help, I thought, just blew me away. When I did watch The Help, I was enamored by the writing, number one. Number two, I was very angry at us Caucasians that we would actually be at one point so absolutely disgusting to human beings. I was very taken aback by that. Let's talk a little bit about your foray into music now. You've had four singles out with really great success. Party Around the World, like I said, with Debbie Holiday. Did you open the White Party with that? You played to an audience of 3,000. But you were a headliner there, correct?
Yes, I don't believe we were the opening party. We weren't the opening night, but we headlined one of their many. You know, they have, I don't know, six or seven parties or whatever, and we headlined one outdoors. It was actually on the beach in Miami, so it was amazing because there was 3,000 or 4,000 people contained within that space. But then the people on the beach, they were just out there. They all were gathered by just watching what was going on, and it was a quite surreal moment to kind of break into dance music and debut my first single at one of the biggest dance parties that we have in this country. So it was so much fun, so much fun.
Mixed with cocaine and whiskey, showing you 50 shades of filthy. Go ahead and put your hands all over me. Lines off a master key. Yeah, shot so high, burn your third degree. Won't you come take a ride with me? Yeah, come fly away with me. I'm gonna make you lose control. Make you dance, dance, dance to my rock and roll. Make you dream, dream, dream till the whiskey soaks your soul. Tell me everything was gonna be alright. Night gets sexy when mixed with an 80 ball and Hennessy. Get you turned on all over me. Here, have a hit of ecstasy. Lights off a master key. Yeah, shot so hot, burn your third degree. Won't you come take a ride with me? Yeah, come fly away with me. I'm gonna make you lose control. Make you dance, dance, dance till I rock and roll. Make you drink, drink, drink till the work gets so good, so bold. Yeah.
Totley. Jason C., I warn you about your call dropping out, and here my system dropped out. So that was Jason Totley with Cocaine and Whiskey. Now, you have been a huge icon in the GLBT community, not only with your music and your dance tunes and everything, with your ability to convey your personality and your entertainment to an audience. Cocaine and Whiskey, I'm sure, is something you've seen in every gay bar in every country. How did you steer away from those perils?
Of Cocaine and Whiskey, you mean?
Sure.
Like those types of perils?
Those kind of things.
I didn't steer away. I dove in head first.
Right.
I mean, truthfully, I was a straight-A student all the way through high school. I didn't drink and smoke. I graduated with like a 3.98 GPA. But my dad dying just threw me out of orbit. And so I began to party pretty hard at about 19. And once I got married, I calmed down. But then, you know, off and on my whole life, I struggle with all of that. I mean, Cocaine and Whiskey I wrote after a four-night-long bender in Atlantic City, doing a lot of cocaine and drinking a lot of whiskey. So, you know, it's kind of, I don't say it's a constant struggle. You know, I don't do drugs all the time. I don't party all the time. But it's a seductive element of life that I have to be very careful with.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible to actually do cocaine and whiskey on a repeated basis and still have to, you know, produce a show. I think that there comes a certain point where, I don't know how the Stones did it for as long as they did, but even they gave up everything. So, you know, to be productive and successful, especially in the music industry, which is incredibly cutthroat, I'm sure you have your haters out there. But, yeah, I find that you've got to remain clean. You've got to remain actually in some kind of physical condition. Where have you played that has been the most satisfying to you, where you got off stage and thought, man, I really killed it here?
Well, White Party was one, actually. And, you know, there's a club in Mobile, Alabama called Bebops. And I don't know if it is how packed the venue gets or how excited those Southern gays are or what, but every time I have a show at Bebop's, it is, I finish and I feel like I just played, you know, Madison Square Gardens, if I could imagine. I mean, for what I have to compare to, the feedback, the people. But almost every time I perform, you know, to me it's the reason I wake up in the morning, is for the opportunity to perform in some capacity. So I've pretty much always had such a great time that they're all just kind of, they're all just amazing experiences, except, you know, for the few that for whatever reason aren't. They're hard to say. It's hard to say what my best would, you know, hard question for me, actually.
Well, and you did a fine job. Your music, like I said, I've been following you from Sordid Lives for quite some time. Your music has evolved. Your latest, It's Our Night, that dropped on Valentine's Day. I have to tell you, sir, it's very classy, very well done, and an absolute departure from the Pop It video, which I certainly did enjoy, don't get me wrong. But I really see you kind of coming into your own with It's Our Night. Would you agree?
Absolutely. It's it was with the whole album that's about that It's Our Night is on, which is called Love Story. It was the first time I approached music with a level of confidence, and also without anyone else's. I was married the whole other time. I was working, so even my own ideas, you know, bounced around the house and being alone and, you know, writing my own material and not having anybody to bounce anything off of allowed me to sort of zone into exactly what I wanted to do and what I wanted to write. And I have this amazing producer named Christopher Vino, who he just clicks with me, and we just sit down and have made some magic. I mean, the new album sounds, it's a lot like It's Our Night, but none of the work sounds like anything that you've heard of mine before.
Yeah,
I've grown
no,
up a little bit.
I definitely agree, buddy. Let's give it a listen. This is Jason Dotley with It's Our Night. Don't go away. More with Jason Dotley.
It's Our Night. It's Our Night.
jasondotley.com. Jason, let's talk about your Kickstarter campaign, the Love Story Project. Very, very interesting.
Thank you. It's, I agree. What do you want to know?
tell us what it's about, buddy.
Well, it's the new one's on Indiegogo, and it's called the Love Story Project. And it's an idea that is expanding so rapidly in my mind that I'm having a hard time keeping up with it. But basically, I'm just in New York, and everyone had changed their profile images on Facebook, as you guys remember, a few weeks back, to the equality symbol. And I was working at my computer, and my producer had just sent me a new mix down of Love Story, the song Love Story. And it occurred to me that A, Pride Month was coming around, and that I didn't even realize that I had created this tool to really stand up and have a voice for equality, which is obviously something that's very important to me. And I feel like when you are given a loud voice, then you have an obligation to use it as the best, to the best of your abilities. It's especially, I feel like, if your community as a gay man is under attack, or, in our situation, I really feel obligation to stand up for our gay, our gay community.
Absolutely.
And so I started thinking, and I thought, we've done such a great job in the last 20 years of putting a face on gay. That's been step one, getting people comfortable with who we are, and we're neighbors, we're brothers, we're aunts and uncles. Mm-hmm. And I realized that our struggle right now, it seems, in this country at least, the struggle is with the aspect of love now. It's with gay marriage. That's the issue. We can't get married. And I thought, if I can find a way of simply showing people, putting a face on gay love, going a step further. And at first it was just an idea of using my song, which was written exactly about society possibly not understanding and then going to a place of acceptance, and I was going to incorporate pictures of gay couples. And so I put out a Facebook alert and, et cetera, and people started sending me pictures of their with their partner. And then I thought, well, I should get them to tell me their love story. So then I started doing interviews by Skype, and there's about six of them, I think, on jasonslovestoryproject.com. And every time I do one, I get many more requests to do more interviews. And I found those stories to be so inspirational and so wonderful. And people started saying some just beautiful things. So then I extracted some of the dialogue from the interviews and had my producer actually put into the song Love Story some of the things I was being told in these interviews. So now people that I interviewed are in the song Love Story. And this idea goes crazy in my mind. So my idea, though, is to make this music video, and it's going to be images of gay couples mixed with a moving storyline of myself with a gay lover. Very simple. The idea is that I'm telling our story. And then with the interviews, I saw an opportunity to put together a love mentory, which is just a documentary of love. And I don't know. It just keeps expanding into the next thing it went into was I'm doing a show this summer called The Love Story Experience, where I work with local artists and around the theme of love, and I perform almost all of my album, because my album is called Love Story, and it is chronological. It starts off with saying goodbye to my ex-husband and goes through falling in love for the first time after my divorce, and then coming out of that into being single once again. Well, just coming out of that experience.
Right.
So it tells my love story of the last 12 months, chronologically,
right.
The album does. It's a social awareness project, and the song to me is such a perfect song for our community, and it's a great time with June and Gay Pride coming up to share it with everybody. And I figured while I had the attention of people, because It's Our Night is doing so well right now, it's the number 2 breakout on Billboard a couple of weeks ago. It should be debuting on the top 50. Thank you. It should be debuting on the top 50 charts, hopefully Thursday of this week or Thursday of next week. So I thought I could use the attention that song was getting to draw some attention to
a social awareness project with Love Story, and it has been so amazing. I've done almost an interview every single night for the last, I don't know, a couple of weeks with couples from all over the world. And I'm way behind in editing them, but it only sticks to them online. But it's been so great. And I've had, like last night, I had a boy on Facebook write me and say, I was so inspired by the Love Story video you posted tonight that I sent somebody flowers this evening that I have a crush on. I finally got brave enough to reach out for love. Thank you.
Wow.
And I didn't even expect that to be a result. You know, it's not even on my radar. So it was so cool.
Well, that was another reason for contacting you, too. I watched three of them, actually, and I don't know if you know this, but I recently lost my husband of 14 years in August of last year. And it was, I'll tell you honestly, Jason, it was really bittersweet. A lot of it brought back fantastic memories. A lot of it made me a little sad. But the project, I think, is fantastic. The one bonus, and this project, again, is on Indiegogo. You can go ahead and contribute to this at www.jasondotley.com. But one of the perks that you have is that you will actually marry a couple or have them renew their vows, which I think is just a lovely thing for you to do.
Thank you, and I've got a couple that I'm actually, in August, I am flying around north of San Francisco and remarrying a couple, and hopefully some other people will, you know, also want to have me do that.
Yeah.
Exciting. It's so much fun, and, you know, when you're around people in love, it's so invigorating anyway. It's just wonderful.
Oh, I know. Love is a fantastic thing. Jason, we're running out of time here. I just want to go ahead and wish you every continued success. Once again, you can go ahead and check them out at jasondotley.com. All the music is there and also on amazon.com and iTunes. Jason, you're a social media genius. You're everywhere. You're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. What am I missing?
I think that's basically it. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of those things. And everybody, your listeners, make sure you can listen in on Lance Bass's show next Monday on Sirius. I'm debuting the song Love Story, so you all can hear it, and it'll be for sale next Tuesday. So.
Oh, great. That's on Yoho's show. What the hell's his name? Lance Bass's.
Yes, on Lance Bass's show. Yeah.
He was
very kind and is letting me debut my song and my song on his show, so I'm very excited about that.
He
grew up right down the street from me. We're like practically, we're probably related. We just need to
talk. Oh, really?
Right.
That's hilarious.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure, buddy. We'll be watching you. And again, every continued success. And please understand that at Home of Victoria is your home, too. And come back anytime you got things that you want to go ahead and talk about, all right?
All right. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
You too, buddy. You take care. That was Jason Dotley with great projects. And an all-around great guy. I'm a huge fan. So I see the lovely and charming Miss Terry Simmons is now just dropped out of the queue, having a lovely time here on Blog Talk Radio. But let's go to a little bit more music. This is Jason Dotley with Hit Play. Don't go away. Terry Simmons when we get back. Play. Go ahead and check him out at jasondobley.com. Joining us now, I'm hoping, is the lovely Terry Simmons. Terry Simmons, are you there, my love?
I am here.
Yay!
Hi.
I don't know. This system is going crazy tonight. I have no idea what the hell's going on, honey. How are you? Welcome back to the show, honey. I missed you so much.
Oh, I've missed you, too. I've been keeping up with you, though, and you seem to be doing great, so I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, we've been really kind of busy. I'm thrilled and everything. And as have you been. Before we go ahead and start into the Trouble Man, which I'm telling you is hilarious.
Isn't it fun?
It's so well written. But let's go back to Parker Kensington Parker. Our fans know you as the angry pageant lady. Do you miss playing with those kids all the time?
Absolutely. I know everyone says that, how, oh, it's just so much fun to be there with everyone, but it is such an incredible, fun, talented group of people that play off each other so well. It's one of those kismet things that, yes, I do. I miss it. I think about them all the time. But we get together. We hang out. We've not lost touch, and we're always talking about other projects to do together. So we just can't let go of each other, honestly. It's really good people. I'm very blessed.
Oh, no, I understand that fully.
You know all of them. Yeah.
I do. I've had the opportunity to have Michael Taylor Gray and Dee Freeman visit me on a regular basis, as well as meet the lovely and charming Steve Silverman and Stacey McQueen, who I think is the bee's knees, I haven't met Ethan yet, but you know, I understand what it is to be surrounded with that level of talent. I'm so sorry you weren't able to come to the Indy Fours. Fantastic group of people. That's where we met at the second Indy Soap Awards, wasn't that?
Yes, it was so much fun. That's where Steve
so
had me there
fun.
And he let me go up and accept the award for Best Ensemble. That's the first time we got that. And his brother got for Best Song and actually performed at the show. It was a fabulous night.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I want to go back again.
Well, I'm sure you're going to come back with The Trouble Man. Let's go to that.
Okay.
Brilliantly written and quite a good cast. I'm really thrilled. The writing from the Peter Hermes and Nick. As well as John
Brother.
And yeah, fantastic, very 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 old school sleuth, tongue in cheek, slap sticky kind of a thing. Am I describing it correctly? How would you describe it?
Absolutely, you got it right there. It's just that hard boiled noir era. It takes all the old time, you know, the whole black and white detective stuff, and brings it up into the new. Kind of combines it all because. These guys who put it together, Peter and Nick, were just such fans of all of that growing up, and they still love it, and it just stands strong. You know, the old Perry Mason, the courtroom scenes, the detectives, everything, Mannix, all of those old ones, and even today, if you watch, you know, these the current detective shows, even the partner police shows, they still have that same kind of, it's got that fun, fumbling, you know, the main character, Fick, he's just this kind of, he's so bad at what he does that he accidentally solves it at the end, and everyone really just kind of solves it for him accidentally. And you pull for him, you love him, you love all the characters around him. It's really, really put together so well. I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's very well written.
Absolutely. Paul Nobrega playing Fick, which is, you know, just charming as hell. I'm really thrilled, too. Again, Joel Murray, Rance Howard, Mac McCoy, who I've watched several times in several different things. What's it like working with him? Do you enjoy that?
It's really amazing when you see all these faces that you've seen before, and then you come together on this project, and everybody just totally became who they needed to be in this. It's really interesting. It's fun. You get together, and you're watching in amazement because you've seen these people, and you've worked with them, and you recognize them. And it's just like that true talent where their character and talent and the thread and why they were asked to do this shines through, but they come together instantly and feed off of each other, and everybody worked really well together. Because, you know, these web series, they're shot really quickly, and they work really hard, a lot of hours where we just kind of guerrilla shoot it all around town and everywhere we can. And the whole cast and crew, everybody came together so well and was available whenever they needed them, and it was just fabulous. So it was really nice working with all those people. Again, I got very lucky, a really great group of people who were in it for the craft. They just want to do a good job.
Yeah, two for two. And again, I'll have to go ahead and say that The Trouble Man is, again, one of those web series that are made with nothing. Nothing but talent and resources, no money whatsoever. The quality of production, I find, is brilliant.
Isn't it?
Cutaways, the editing is well done, too. Tell us about Rebecca. quite a departure from Parker Kensington Parker. You're a tough bitch. Quite frankly, you scare me a little bit, Terry. You can beat some ass.
I've been waiting for a role like this forever. I just wanted to be that, you know, that badass. Can I say that on your show?
Absolutely.
I just want to be that person where I love her. I've always been intrigued by the people who the wheels are turning. It's what they don't say. It's the things between the lines that happen in a lot of characters that I've loved growing up, and I've always loved that. And so Peter gave me the gift of, the first time he sent me the script, I had lines, I had a lot of stuff going on, and then he sent it to me again, and he was apologizing, going, I hope you don't mind, but we've worked Rebecca a little bit where she really just doesn't have to say anything. Are you okay with not having any lines? And I was like, that is a gift to me. It made me have to work harder. I had to get it all done with what was going on inside. And, you know, old school actor, going back to what you learned when you first jumped into this, was fascinating for me, and I loved it. And she's the muscle. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better role. I mean,
I know.
Out there, and Fick is afraid of me. When he sees me coming, he knows he's going to get, you know, kicked out, literally. So I got a little, you know, some physical stuff going in there where I throw him out and twist his arm and beat him up. And I love her so much because she doesn't have to say anything. I love her.
Well, and just may I tip my hat to you, oh talented lady. Everything comes through your eyes.
Oh,
and
thank you.
It's such a pleasure to go ahead, because I do understand how challenging that is to not have to convey with the written word. And may I just say, when Steve first sent me the first episode, and all there was a voiceover of you in the very last couple seconds and stuff. So
yeah.
I got a chance to watch all 8 episodes, and I have to say, for such a challenging task, you excelled, and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. It was really fun for me. I like it.
And you're back to blonde.
I'm back to blonde. Yeah, that dark departure was actually for another project. It was called Love or War. It was a part that was dear to my heart that I met Jen Page through Pretty. All of this has been, this is how wonderful this, when you get into this independent stuff and everybody paying for their own and working hard to put these productions on, they feed off of each other. So that's how Peter and I came together. He happened to be the cameraman on one of the episodes with Pretty. We worked together really well, so he called me in on other things. Same thing for another project. And I needed to, the light also was I needed to look older than I was, which I don't get that very often at my age. So I was like, oh, cool. So I had the dark hair, and I played a mother who lost her son in the war and came back with the flag to give to his girlfriend who's still there. And so it was a very, very emotional scene, and the dark hair kind of played into it. And so, yeah, I'll do whatever, you know, whatever they need. I'll change it up. So I'm back to blonde. I'm just a blonde. I'm a blonde personality, and I always kind of go back to my roots.
Well, you can pull both of them off. I do prefer you as blonde, but in Love or War, Sheila Daly, Jade Carter, Keith Johnson, Tracy Winters, you know, again, a very, very talented cast back in 2002. So, and actually, quite frankly, on IMDb, out of it's getting good ratings and stuff. It's now out. Is that correct?
I haven't seen the finished project. I haven't talked to Jen, but I knew it was very close last time I talked to her. So,
Well, huge congrats on that project, though, honey. I want to touch a little bit. I've been following you. I love the Facebook analogy that following is really the new stalking. You know, let's just go ahead and be honest with that.
Absolutely.
I know. I've been following, I use that tongue-in-cheek, your charity work, honey, your work with St. Jude's Children's Hospital, which I think is fantastic. Tell me how you got involved with St. Jude's.
You know, over 12 years ago, I just was watching TV. It works. I watched it and saw Marlo Thomas, Danny Thomas, saw the whole thing, and it pulled it. It's always been a passion of mine. I've always been involved ever since I was a little girl in doing things instead of having things. So, you know, when my birthday came up, I wanted to go somewhere and do something and help someone else, because I grew up in a small East Texas town. We just didn't have a lot to do, so that's what you did.
Yeah.
And so it's always been my nature. And I was watching on TV years and years ago and made a pledge to become a partner in Hope and do the monthly giving, which that wasn't big back then. I've been doing it so long. You know, they had just started because we didn't have internet. We didn't have you literally called a number and said, I will send you a check once a month. And they were so appreciative. And I started out, I think, $19 a month. And I thought, gosh, I can – and I was broke. I had nothing. But I thought, gosh, I can do that. And it made a goal for me to put aside that, you know, that $19 to $20 each time. So I've been doing that. And then they called me one time about 4 years ago and asked me if I would do some of their videos, some of their PSA announcements, so that they needed to do their fundraising videos. So they interviewed a bunch of us. I got really involved in it that way and started raising more money. And then I just wanted to kick it up a notch. So they called me and asked, last time I was in Memphis shooting one of their videos for fundraising. Of course, I spent time in the hospital and went through every nook and cranny and saw the kids and spent a lot of time there.
Doesn't that kick you in the face?
It was, I thought it was going to, and it was, no, it was the most hopeful, enriching, amazing experience of my life.
Wow.
These kids, actually, some of them feel lucky to be there. That's how good St. Jude is. From the, you know, the red wagons, they take them in down to their treatments from their room instead of a wheelchair. Everything. And when the kid comes to the hospital first time with the family, all the desks are at their level. They check in at their level. So
wow.
It's very short, mini desks.
Yeah.
Everything is about them. St. Jude doesn't miss. You go in there as a family, and if you even think, gosh, I wish I had this to get me through the night, they've already thought of it, and they have it ready for you. It's amazing.
Brilliant.
So,
brilliant.
Yeah. So that's when
I'm
starting in the marathon once a year. I do that now, and I raise $3,000 a year for the marathon to be a St. Jude hero. So that's it.
Oh, wow. Did you actually run the marathon, or you just collect
money? Yeah, I've done it for 3 years. I'm more of a walker. You know what? It's really funny. I'm a very fast walker and a slow runner, so it's the same time no matter what I do. I'm not an athlete, but I've been doing marathons for charity for about 15 years. And so then now I do St. Jude. I started out with Leukemia and Lymphoma Society when I lived in Denver. And now I do St. Jude once a year. I do half marathons all through the year, and then I do the one marathon every year in December in Memphis for St. Jude. And you have to raise a minimum of $2,500, so I always raise at least $3,000. And you know what? My donors are so wonderful because they've been following me through all of my fundraising for the past 25, 30 years that they call me and say, you're doing it again this year. Can I give? And so I'm trying to do it big. That led me to be the Change Volunteers, where I went to Papua New Guinea last year and built a school and lived in the jungle for 2 weeks. And now I'm still raising money for them and hope to keep going back because they're on a 10-year plan. So I want to watch these kids grow up and go
to school. Yeah, I'm so happy you mentioned that, too. I was seeing posts of you actually in New Guinea, and I adore you. I really,
Thank
really
you.
Do. I just thought... What the hell is Terry Simmons doing in New Guinea?
That's what everyone thought. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
It was fabulous. It was life changing, life enhancing. I have a whole new family over there. I loved it. I got totally by the first day. I was totally engulfed in their culture. They took me in as one of their own. I was learning the language, dressing like them, climbing the trees, building the schools, and we got that school built for these kids. This Be the Change organization. It's, Jimmy and Christy Cook and Grant Venable, Mark Albrecht, Glenn Willett, there's a whole group of people, and they do this all over the world. They go all over the place, and I'm the one that kind of fell in love with New Guinea and said, I want to be Team New Guinea. So now we're starting a whole home team and an away team and a whole lot of big, big fundraising to help these families.
Yeah. You know, I will have to go ahead and just mention quickly that, you know, children remain to be such an incredible resource and so incredibly resilient. I remember my mother had cancer. My mother had cancer a few times and stuff. I remember one time I was 16 and I was visiting her during one of her treatments, and she was waiting to go in for her radiation, and there was, I think, about a 6 or 7 year old girl, totally bald, and her head was all marked for spots and everything like that. And she was just sitting there, kind of swinging with her. She had a book with her, and my mother was visibly upset and everything. And this angel. Put her hand on my mom's hand, and she says, don't worry, it's not that bad. And I remember that to this day, and it still gives me goosebumps. And just the absolute innocence that brings such strength. You know what I mean? If you don't really know what's going to happen, who the hell cares, kind of a thing. So, I do applaud you so much for taking, so much energy to do that. What else is in the hopper for you, honey? I know The Trouble Man is now finished filming. Is there a season 2 coming out?
I don't know. I haven't heard any more about that. They're really working hard promoting this and turning into something because the interest has been so great, and they really like what they put together. I think they're going to – I think there's always the availability. They're probably writing stuff that they're really kind of – they like this package they put together, and they're going to expand it and kind of pick up on some of the leads that they've gotten so far. So it's good. Wow. It's really good. So we're just doing the same thing, promoting whatever they need, and I'm trying to get the word out there even more because I'm really proud of the project. It's really good.
Yeah. No, you should be, honey. You're fantastic. And it,
thank
you. Terry, we're running out of time, honey.
Okay.
I'm going to thank you so much for taking the time to go ahead and come. And please remember, again, come back anytime. You're a wanton guest and a charming person. And how can people go ahead and help out with the Papua New Guinea charity?
They can go to bethechangevolunteers.org.
All right.
And everything is there. They can just click on that and donate. And there's also a specific email address, which is grant, G-R-A-N-T-V, as in Victor, at Be the Change Volunteers. That go right to the guy who puts it together. But Be the Change Volunteers, even if you just Google that, if you can't remember that, bethechangevolunteers.org, we'll get there. And
all
then
right.
The St. Jude, you can go to St. Jude, heroes.stjude.org/Terry Simmons and donate.
And don't forget to go ahead and check Terry out on Facebook, facebook.com/Terry Simmons. You can go ahead and scroll down on her page and contribute to St. Jude's, a fantastic organization.
Yeah.
Funded by,
yeah, please come see me at Facebook.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that.
By Danny Kay from Marlo Thomas. And you know what? I really have to give her kudos for carrying St. Jude's in her father's memory. I think that it shows great, great fortitude. And once again, it's just a fantastic woman, Miss Marlo Thomas. Terry Simmons, always an absolute pleasure chatting with you. I miss you. I hope to see you at Indy 5 with the Trouble Man. And
I would love that.
And then you.
I
want to
hug.
Then, oh, yeah, absolutely. Then you and Silverman from The Inn, I'm sure that's going to be nominated this year. And we'll have a great time in New York.
Yes, please watch The Inn, because also watch very closely. It's amazing, another well-written, genius effort by Steve Silverman. And there's also some pretty people in the background, maybe some cameos if you watch really closely the whole show.
Ooh.
And, of course, Chrystal Chappelle and a lot of wonderful actors, and everybody's in that. So it's really,
yeah.
Really
are you
fantastic.
Actually going to be at the Hottest Hell event in Palm
I sure
Springs?
Am. My face
there
is even on the flyer, baby. You better come see me. We'll be hot as hell. I'm there.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I always have so much fun with the Pretty Crew. But, Terry, such a delight talking
you.
With you again. I love
thank
you more.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I really,
thanks
honestly, thank
us.
You. I know you got to go, but I just want to thank you so much for all your support, no matter what. You are always there for us, this show, you personally, everybody. So thank you so much. We don't take that for granted. We love it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, honey. Well, I know talent. So that's and I love talent. So that's definitely why. Terry Simmons, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Michael.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Terry Simmons. You can go ahead and check her out at thetroubleman.com, also facebook.com/Terry Simmons, TerriSimmons. That's it for another edition of At Home with Victoria. I want to thank all our guests, Jason Dotley. Go ahead and check him out at jasondotley.com. All of his music and his love project is up there, too. Indiegogo, go ahead and check it out and contribute. I think it's identifying the social consciousness of gay marriage. I think it's very timely. And, of course, Terry Simmons. Once again, we're going to end with a little bit of music from Jason Dotley, a little bit of a reprise of It's Our Night. I want to thank everybody up in chat, all of our brand-new guests, Kelly Hughes-Smitney just joining us, Bob Sipes just joining us. Apparently they slept in during the show. But do want to thank you all for tuning in to another edition of At Home with Victoria. This is Jason Dotley with It's Our Night. Good night, everybody.
It's our night.
An interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.